hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Children, yeah, and at the midnight cry, we'll be going home when Jesus steps out.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM, the program Issues of Life. This is Eben, and we thank God for another Saturday, and indeed it's the mercies of the Lord that keeps us going. It's such a wonderful time to come back to you through the power of radio. Well, we've been treating revival, the coming revival, for the last 7 or so editions, and indeed these are very interesting times to talk about the great awakening that is coming. And that's the sense of this series that I've been conducting with a pastor friend in Accra, Pastor Roger. And it's been a blessing to me as well. And indeed, tonight we are continuing. But first, we'll start with the news, things happening in the world. A lot is happening in these times, a lot. And now we have far more news than even the time for this program. So last week I talked of the program, an extra podcast that I've started. So for those online, I've uploaded the first edition. So you can get it. Go to spiritissues.info. You see the End Time Chronicles podcast. So the first edition is there. You can, it's just about 30-something minutes, and you can just listen, download and listen to it. Because we are in the, as well, we say, in the information age. Yes, with the same thing applies to the Christian and the end time things too. A lot of information, a lot is happening. And, you know, when it comes to end times, it's a combination of factors. The Bible, the prophecies are there, the Bible, end time prophecies in the Bible. Then the events that were prophesied are happening in the news. And then there are extra information that's also prophesied that will happen, the dreams and the visions. So things happening that God is giving messages through people. And you also have prophetic warnings that the Lord gives to people, churches, corporate groups or individuals, and as well. And then one also has to spend time doing a lot of research, sometimes history, sometimes news, geopolitical events happening. You see, you have to understand things happening. You have to sometimes understand what has happened before. And, you know, so it's quite time-consuming to really talk a lot about end time. When you are doing end time, it really takes a lot of time because you have to really spend time knowing what is happening, watch things, sometimes documentaries, news reports, and all that, interviews and all. So one really needs to learn a lot to keep updated and keep abreast with what is happening in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. One has to pray, one has to, of course, study the word, depend on the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to direct and teach and explain things. So it's quite a huge combination of things. And so as more information is coming up, more things are happening, events and all that, one will need more time to talk about a lot more things. So that's the essence of this podcast, which I believe will be an extra information for our listeners. In the course of the week, well, we've had some interesting news. These are the days where, as for the good news, it's a bit on the rare side. Though, I mean, good things still happen today. There's one such good news in there, but largely, it's not too good. Not too good as it were. All right, so let me start with 8 Christians. Let me start with the good one first, and then we proceed. 8 Christians kidnapped from Nigeria church bus have been released. And the headline says, "Glory be to Jesus." 8 members of the Redeemed Christian Church of God who were abducted by gunmen last month while traveling on a bus to a church program in the Kaduna state of northwest Nigeria have been freed. Quote, "Today I got the exciting news that our brethren who were in captivity of kidnappers have all been released and taken to the hospital for checkup and tests," unquote. RCCG General Overseer Peter Enoch Adeboye announced on Twitter. And that's good news. That's good news there. This one is from the UN that says, "Global food prices continue to surge, hitting 7-year highs," according to the UN. A new report by the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, of the United Nations shows that global food commodity prices rose in March, marking their 10th consecutive monthly increase. The FAO Food Price Index, which tracks monthly changes in the international prices of commonly traded food commodities, averaged 118.5 points in March, and that's 2.1% higher than in February, and reaching its highest level since June 2014. According to the FAO, the March increase was led by the vegetable oil price index, which rose 8% from the previous month to hit a nearly 10-year high, with soy oil prices rising sharply due in part to the prospects of firm demand from the biodiesel sector. Then it goes on to say that dairy price index increased 3.9% from February, with butter prices buoyed by somewhat tight supplies in Europe associated with increased demand in the anticipation of food service sector recovery. And on and on. You know, so by contrast, the cereal index dropped by 1.8%, but is still 26.5% higher than in March 2020. The report said, adding, quote, "Wheat export prices declined the most, reflecting generally good supplies and favorable production prospects for 2021 crops. Maize and rice prices are also declining, whilst those for sorghum rose." But you see, generally, there's this increment going on and food scarcity in some parts of the world, part due to the locust invasion in parts of East Africa and parts of Asia last year. And the effect is being felt in some places, and bad weather and all. So these are not good times for some areas in the world, and the world in general, as food prices keep going up and economies too have been badly bitten or hit by the COVID in general. So clearly cost of living is really going up and life is getting harder for some people across the globe. But you see, these are all little progress, I mean, being made little by little towards what the Bible talks about, you know, about the difficult days, about the end times and all these things. It's not just one event. It's a gradual process. If you look at the picture of the state of the world now, clearly you can see that a certain picture is being painted. You know, this week I was having a chat with one friend and I was likening it to, if you look at this, the puzzle, jigsaw puzzle that children play with. When you look at the picture and then you look at the puzzle that is scattered, you know, when you start fixing the puzzle, initially nothing really comes, you don't see anything, but as you fix, then gradually the picture begins to come out. That's exactly the state of the world now when it comes to the end time events and Bible prophecy, because you pick the various things happening, the wars, the rumors of wars, the pestilences, the earthquakes, you know, and you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, a whole list of things, the state of the world, perilous time shall come, people shall be lovers of themselves, boastful, I mean, all the things that Paul wrote there, you are seeing it in our times, and even in greater levels never seen before. A whole lot is happening. So when you bring all these things together, it's like the puzzle begins to take better shape and you are really seeing the state of the world we are in now. The next news says U.S. should stay clear of Crimea and Black Sea for its own good, says Moscow's deputy foreign minister, as American warships move closer to Russia. Any U.S. presence in the Black Sea is a provocation, and Washington should keep away from the area. That's according to a senior Russian diplomat, speaking after Turkey revealed that two U.S. warships would soon arrive in the region. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Yabkov told journalists that there is absolutely nothing that requires the Americans' presence near his country's Black Sea shore, accusing the White House of trying to provoke Moscow. Quote, provocative in the literal sense of the word, they are testing our strength, playing on our nerves. They won't succeed, unquote, he said, noting that Washington would also be better off staying away. Quote, it will be for their own good, unquote, Ravkov added, also dubbing Washington as Moscow's adversary. His use of the term marks a departure from Moscow's usual manner of referring to the Americans as partners. He also accused Washington of doing everything to undermine Russia's position in the international arena. The official's words come after the U.S. told Turkey that two American warships would pass through the Bosporus Strait into the Black Sea next week. Ankara, in turn, has warned Moscow. And then, according to the 1938 Montreux Convention on the Black Sea Straits, Turkey has complete control over the Bosporus Straits. In response, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov wondered why the U.S. was so keen to be present in the strategically important body of water far from American shores. Questions are asked about what Russia is doing on the border with Ukraine. The answer is simple. We live there. We live there indeed. It is our country, he said. What about the United States? What's the United States doing with its ships and soldiers constantly organizing NATO activities in Ukraine, thousands of kilometers away from its own territory? This question still remains unanswered, unquote. Indeed, it's a lot of tension between the U.S. and Russia in the last few weeks. It doesn't look too good. And indeed, there's a build-up. Actually, there's a build-up of about 8,000. One report has about 8,000 Russian troops amassed along the Ukrainian border, and that's quite a big number. In the meantime, the U.S. has expelled 10 Russian diplomats from the U.S., and then Russia too has planned to also expel 10 American diplomats and limit the staff and also considering painful measures aimed at U.S. businesses. So it's more of like tit for tat diplomatic war now, and some of these games can escalate and become full-blown whatever military actions. We pray it doesn't get that way, but well, we are in interesting times where anything can happen. Anything can happen. All right, so another potential dangerous war games going on in the China area too. China sends more jets, and Taiwan says it will fight to the end if there's war. Taiwan, as for this war there, please, you stand no chance at all. So Taiwan's Air Force sent up aircraft to intercept and warn the Chinese away, the ministry added. China sent more fighter jets into Taiwan's air defense zone on Wednesday in a stepped-up show of force around the island Beijing claims is its own. And Taiwan's foreign minister said it would fight to the end if China attacks. The democratic self-governed island has complained of repeated military activities by Beijing in recent months, with China's Air Force making almost daily forays in Taiwan's air defense identification zone. On Monday, China said an aircraft carrier group was exercising close to the island. Taiwan's defense ministry said 15 Chinese aircraft, including 12 fighters, entered its air defense identification zone with an anti-submarine aircraft flying to the south through the Bashi Channel between Taiwan and Philippines. Taiwan's Air Force sent up aircraft to intercept and warn the Chinese away, the ministry added. Adding to the stepped-up military action near Taiwan, the U.S. Navy said the guided missile destroyer USS John S. McCain conducted a routine transit of the Taiwan Strait on Wednesday. China's Eastern Theater Command said it tracked the ship and denounced the U.S. for endangering peace and stability of the Taiwan Strait. Speaking earlier in the day, Taiwan Foreign Minister Joseph Wu said the U.S. was concerned about the risk of a conflict. That's worrying. And now to Israel, where Israeli Defense Forces strikes Hamas targets after rocket lands in southern Gaza Strip. IDF fighter jets and aircraft attacked a number of terror targets in the Gaza Strip on Friday night after a rocket landed in an open field in Israel, the military announced. Rocket sirens sounded on Friday evening in the Sde Avraham and Holit, both located along the southern Gaza Strip border. Soon after, the IDF and local authorities revealed that a rocket was spotted landing in an open field, causing no injury. This comes after another rocket landed in an open area in Israeli territory on Thursday evening, setting off rocket sirens in Sderot, Eden Ibim, and then Ne'eram in southern Israel. Following the Friday attack, an IDF spokesperson announced that fighter jets and other aircraft attacked a number of terrorist targets in the Gaza Strip in retaliation. Then, another tension between Israel and Iran. The tit for tat games, you hit me, I hit you, is ongoing, where we had Israeli-owned ship attacked off the UAE coast amid sky-high tensions with Iran. An Israeli-owned ship reportedly came under missile fire on Tuesday near the United Arab Emirates in the third attack of its kind in Memphis. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the strike, but officials in Jerusalem believe Iran is responsible, according to Hebrew media reports. And also in the course of the week, Iran also confirmed that indeed Israel was able to paralyze their nuclear activities with the infiltration that successfully did to destroy some things in their nuclear plants. And indeed, they are also, they say they are going to retaliate. So It's more of like, and as to which retaliation can really end up being a grand event that will spark something big, no one knows, but it can be any day because the tension is really high there now. All right, then we have family barred from two villages for Christian faith. Shortly after Gates and his wife became Christians, his parents and leader of their village forced the couple and their young child out of their village because of their faith. With no place to stay, Gates started to build a home for his family on farmland he owned in another village about a mile away. Learning of the family's faith, the leader of that village threatened to arrest Gates if he did not stop the construction. Although they had no home and only rice to eat, Gates and his wife remained strong in their faith. Pray that the Lord will grant permission for Gates to build a temporary home on his own land. Pray that Gates and his family will not be discouraged. And pray that the Lord will provide all of Gates' necessities in addition to shelter. And this is from one of these persecution sites where they give updates on various cases like this. All right. This last news item, let me just read it as it is. Pentagon creates microchip that would detect COVID-19 under your skin. Let me repeat the headline. Pentagon creates microchip that will detect COVID-19 under your skin. Medical researchers working on for the Pentagon have claimed to have created a microchip that can identify viruses like COVID-19 if they are under your skin. Retired Army Colonel Dr. Matt Hepburn, an infectious disease physician, told 60 Minutes that the microchip acts like a check engine light for people, but does not track their every movement, which has been central to online conspiracy theories about COVID-19 vaccinations. The technology was developed by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, which operates under the Pentagon. Hepburn's interview was conducted on the USS Theodore Roosevelt, where last year over 1,200 crew members tested positive for the virus, something Hepburn claims this microchip could prevent in the future. The microchip, which is not in widespread use beyond the Defense Department, is embedded under the skin in a tissue-like gel and continuously tests the recipient's blood for evidence of a virus like COVID-19. Once detected, it alerts the carrier they must immediately get a blood test. It's a sensor, Hepburn said. That tiny green thing in there, you put it underneath your skin, and what that tells you is that there are chemical reactions going on inside the body, and that signal means you are going to have symptoms tomorrow, unquote. He went on to claim that the early detection technology could stop the infection in its tracks. Okay, let's leave it for there for now. That's the way technology is developing very fast. That's what they are saying for now. As to what it will turn out to become later on, leave it to them. The program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this, and I have a few things to read before Pastor Roger will be joining in the course of the program.
You, Lord, and we choose to welcome you here in this place. Father, even now, would you just cause your Holy Spirit to rest afresh on us? Lord, we thank you for the things that we were witnesses of last night. For you have again done a work in our hearts, and you have breathed life back into us. So again today, Lord, we just want to say yes to you.
Purify my heart.
Cause us to have believing hearts. And would you unify your church this morning, Lord, represented here from all over the world.
Welcome back to Spirit FM The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. We just played the song Refiner's Fire by the Vine Yard from the album Winds of Worship 3. Very powerful, very, very powerful album indeed. All right. I have a few messages to read from Sister Glenda Lomax. This week, some really serious warnings from the Lord to Christians, to the church, to the body of Christ. Let me just go through three of them. And they are all short anyway. The first is my bride. My bride truly does not realize her sinful condition. Therefore, I will now bring circumstances to bear that will reveal to each person where I desire they would allow me to wash them clean. My children, it is truly not my will that you endure harsh persecution, but your lives are but a vapor compared to all eternity, and I desire you be here with me for eternity, not with the evil one. Submit to me now and allow me to make you clean again. Seek my face and guard your time in my word as if it were your very life, for truly it is. Soon you will see all I'm telling you is truth, and there is more still. It is truly in my great mercy that I warn you to help you avoid such a terrible fate. And a few verses were added to it. Matthew 5 verse 1 to 3. Let me quickly read that one. There shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And I believe we all know this Matthew 25 message. And then Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And there are a few others as well. And indeed, these are the times to seek the Lord seriously and wholeheartedly. These are the times to really push ourselves to the limit. Because for most of us, most Christians have been lukewarm. And COVID has even made it even worse. The church lockdown and all that post-church lockdown. A lot of believers are still in their sleep mode, still not gotten back to the levels they used to be. And it looks like normal life, things are cool, nothing on the horizon, nothing coming. But the truth is, all is not well at all. I mean, sometimes I don't know how else to express it and how else to say it, but a lot is happening behind the scenes. A lot is happening behind the scenes there. You know, yesterday I think I wrote a few things on my wall that it's sad that satanic agents have more spiritual enlightenment about the times we are in than most Christians. And it's very unfortunate because they know what is the time. They know the time. They know it. Those in the occult, those satanic guys, and they know the time they are in. They know it. So they are prepared for it. They are stepping up their game. They know the season and they know what is coming. Unfortunately, the average Christian seems to be very sad issue. You know, the average Christian just doesn't care. It's like, it's like someone who has slept and you are trying to wake the person up and it's like, let me sleep a little. The eyes are, you know, struggling to open the eyes and like, you give me a little time, come back in 10 minutes. You know, we are just refusing to see the reality in the spiritual realm, what is happening. And it's very unfortunate because if, you see, as if we've forgotten that we are in a battle, we are in the whole issue of Christianity is warfare. So your enemy is well prepared and knows the time, and we are just comfortable in our current state of lukewarmness, and we don't seem to care about what is coming. And even when the warnings are being given by the people who understand, and God is allowing by the grace to know what is coming and show them what is coming and give the warnings and all, we also hear the warnings and we say, oh no, no, you are scaring us. This thing, nothing is coming. Just let this be. Please, the times are not the same again. The times, the season, I don't know, it has changed. There's no other way to put it again. The season has changed. You see, and let me put it this way. Believing it or not doesn't change the reality of the season. So it's just like a student who is in school and the time has come for exams, and you say, no, you don't believe it's time for exams. Well, you can say all you want. If you don't believe it, you still don't believe it. But the reality is the exam is going to happen. For that student who says he doesn't believe it's time for the exam, when he sees the exam is starting, then he would understand that indeed he was dreaming. But his dream has now become a reality. And, you know, it's sad because the signals are clear from the Bible side to the warnings. Yesterday, I listened to a message. I listened, and then I got the text itself, and I read a 10-year-old boy. The Lord showed, actually, it's the father. The father prayed that God should show him if indeed it's the great tribulation is around or is correct, as people are saying and all that. And he didn't get the answer to the prayer. The answer rather went to a 10-year-old boy. his son or his spiritual son, whatever, 10-year-old boy, rather in the church, rather got that same night an open vision or a dream. And it's quite vivid. And when I was reading it, it's like when you start reading, you just know that, yeah, that's the reality. This is exactly what is coming. Because this confirms a whole lot of others as well, and confirms exactly the Bible as well. But, you know, it looks like it's just a few people who are interested in what is coming, or like the season, and understand the season. You see, the grace of God is available for all, so far as you are willing. But it seems as a lot are just looking at it as, oh, nothing is coming. And yet every day the notch is being pushed one level higher. The greatest advantage the devil has over ignorant people is not being aware of his strategy. And it's unfortunate because the Bible is very clear about it. The Bible is very clear about it. But, you know, we see it as, oh, it's one of those things. And let me just read this verse. And a minute. Where is that one? Okay, I'm looking for this. Okay, a minute. Okay, when I find it, I'll read it. But we are to be ahead of our enemy. We are to be advanced in our strategies as the body of Christ. You see, so, but because of the posture we've taken, it becomes very easy for the enemy to deceive us and manipulate us. And that is the problem. And that is the problem of us. I mean, believers now, most of us don't really push ourselves. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Yes, I found it. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That should have been the case. But can we truly say that we are not ignorant of his devices? Because from the look of things now, looking at the way things are now, the average believer is very ignorant of his devices. The average believer is very ignorant of his devices, because they are scheming, And you see, a lot of the things they are doing and planning and all, someone puts it this way, it's like hidden in plain view. So it's hidden, yes, but it's also in plain view for those who want to know and those who understand and those who have understanding, discernment and all to also see. So it's a matter of choice. It's not too much of a secret, but yet it seems hidden to most people. And I believe these are the dangers we should avert. So you see, when some of these prophetic warnings are coming, I'm not surprised because it really describes the times indeed. Let me read this one. It says, my children, a storm of unprecedented, this is, the title is A Storm of Unprecedented Proportions. It says, my children, why are you going through each day as though nothing is happening? Your whole world is changing in ways it can never return from. I have told you a storm of unprecedented proportions is upon you and is about to be unleashed. This is a storm in multiple areas of your lives, and only those who work closely with me will be able to navigate it. There will be no warning before the storm. It will come upon you violently. Prepare your faith now, for you have not seen a storm like this one before. And then the final one, you give a few verses. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And indeed, that's true. That's true. And the final one says, those who continue to play. He says, are you strengthening your faith in my word? Are you working closely with me, ready for what is coming in the earth? Is my word written in your heart, so you need not fear when the evil one tries to remove all that is of me from your world? I have warned you of many things, my children. Many will not heed my warnings, preferring to play in the world a little longer, and they shall be caught unawares. It will be a terrifying time for them. I do not desire you be found among those who continue to play. And in 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then 17 says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. These are clear warnings. And you see, the reason why I took time to read these ones, that it just aligns with a whole lot of other messages people are getting, dreams people are having, and all. You see, the essence of God giving us these warnings and dreams and visions and all that is to wake us up. That's the bottom line, to just wake us up and to get us ready for what is coming. And as many as take these things and act on them, it's to their advantage. Because you see, if you know something is coming, when it comes, you are not too surprised. Sometimes, yes, it can be surprising, especially if the thing is really magnitude, and like the magnitude is really on the high side and something really big. But the fact that you are surprised, but you are still not too surprised because you were expecting something to come. But compare with someone who is not expecting anything at all, the shock is completely different. And you see, these are the times to depend solely on the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on Him. You know, this week I was talking about, I shared those in my broadcast list, talking about Proverbs. Let me quickly read a portion of it, because Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. A lot of us depending, leaning on our own understanding, the information that we have, what we've learned, what we've been taught, what we've been told, that is what we are leaning on. Our understanding of the times is what we are leaning on. But we have to trust in God. We should not lean on our limited information that we know. Because who are we? I mean, human beings, how much? We are nothing compared to God. So if there is God you can trust in, why not trust in God instead of depending on your own understanding? See? And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We have to acknowledge God in all our ways. These are the days where we have to acknowledge God. You see, and I likened it to, the Holy Spirit gave me this insight, analysis, or I mean, relation, that just like a pilot, a plane, you know, the pilot sits in the plane is on the tarmac, and the boarding gate moves. He talks to the control tower, gives them information. Then they give him information. Fine, from here to this place, we are moving at this altitude. Proceed, use this runway and all that. He is acknowledging the control tower. The pilot acknowledges them. And now, in turn, they direct the path of the plane. You see, that's how it is. When we acknowledge God, then we give him permission to direct us. These are the times to acknowledge God in our ways, so that he can direct us. You see, in the control tower, they have access to, I mean, satellite imagery, the weather and all that, other planes in the area, the heights and all, the altitude and all. So they would tell the pilots, fly at 30,000 feet. Because at 38,000 feet, another plane is there, and 28,000 feet, another plane is below you. So keep this height, keep this altitude. You know, so your path is controlled. They direct your go this way at this speed, blah, 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 you know. So that at the end of the day, you arrive at your destination safely. If we depend on God, if we acknowledge God in all our ways, he will direct us to our destination. And if there was ever a time we need clear direction as we finish this end time race, it must be now. Because we are getting to the point where if you try to go solo on your own, you would end up in big trouble. Oh yeah, you end up in big trouble, spiritual trouble, because you miss the mark, you run into error and all. But if you keep base with the control tower, in this case God, you cannot miss your pathway. You be kept on the right channel to move on. He sees ahead. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know next week. You don't know next month. He, God, knows. So when we acknowledge him, he can navigate us through the routes or the paths, the road, whichever way, to avoid something. Or even if we have to go through that difficulty, he will still give us the grace to be able to endure it. But if you don't acknowledge him, you are on your own. You see, so we really need to step up our spiritual game, because the way things are changing really fast, it's very, very critical that we renew our minds and refocus. You see, we have to understand that the season has changed forever. And it's one of the messages I was reading. And that's the fact. I mean, I've been telling people that, see, if you think we are going back to pre-COVID era as we knew life to be, is the biggest deception ever, because it's never going back to pre-COVID era. The new normal has set up. It's a new life, the new normal, the new world. This is it. So if we don't adjust and strategize in this new season to know how to navigate it, then we'll be in trouble. Because at the end of the day, whether we believe it or not, spiritual warfare is real. The fact that you don't see, or the fact that you don't believe, does not make something unreal. And that is why it is very dangerous to just ignore all the signals, It's like you are driving, you see red lights, you just run through. Red lights, you run through. Be running through red, eventually you run into trouble. We cannot be ignoring the signals. We cannot be ignoring the signals. The signals are too many to now ignore. There are too many, from children to adults. I mean, different countries. Different countries, different people. And you see, it's just obvious that you just see that these are the warnings coming from the Lord. Because it's clear. I mean, it's just clear, confirming scripture and all. But it's like, oh, don't frighten us. You are scaring us. It's very unfortunate, but the truth has to be said. And that's the essence of these warnings that we share as the Lord gives people and all that. And I believe as many as have been listening to this program, you'd take these things serious and act on your spiritual life. Get back to the basics, you know, talk to God, renew your mind. If there is repentance to be made, do so. You know, stay focused. See, the devil is distracting us with so many things. A whole lot of people are being distracted, you know, so we are losing focus. At a time when we should be sharpening our focus, we are rather losing it. So many things are just drawing us away from our path. So many things are distracting us. So we are not paying attention to the most important things now. And, you know, sooner or later, you realize that some things are more valuable than others. And the things that are valuable are the spiritual things we are ignoring now. And the Word of God is so crucial. Let's spend time in the Word. Let's cut off unnecessary things that are wasting our time. Let's spend more time in the Word. You see, when we spend time with the Word, or in the Word, then, and we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, then He will teach us. But you just cannot be walking around, you don't read the Word, you don't spend time with it, you don't listen, nothing, and then you expect that you will grow in the Word. No, it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. You have to pay a price. You have to open the Bible and read. You have to listen to it. If it's audio Bible, you have to listen to it. But you see, if you don't do these things, how else can you grow in the Word? And you see, the reason why we need the Word more and more now is that as things tighten up, it's the Word that will guide us, and it's the Word that will navigate our path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. You see, so as darkness increases in the world, the Word is going to be the lamp that is going to guide us on the path to follow. You see, so if we don't have any Word in us, what lamp are we going to use in the dark days? And this darkness, I'm not talking of, I mean, physical darkness, as some were sharing Easter, there will be darkness, 3 days darkness, and I believe that particular thing is more of spiritual darkness that is coming. But people are interpreting it to be physical. I mean, because spiritual darkness is coming. I mean, it's clear. I mean, so many things point to that spiritual darkness in terms of evil is liking that spiritual darkness increasing and all. So these are all advance warnings to prepare us to get our lamps and our lanterns and our candles and our spiritual states. The word, let's sharpen ourselves in the Word. Spend more time in the Word. I mean, these are not times to be following European Football League and, oh, come on, Christians, let's stay focused. You see, there's a time and a season for everything. This is not the season to be wasting time on some things. Oh, yeah, especially those who spend countless hours upon hours on these things. It doesn't benefit you spiritually in any way. It just drains your time and just wastes your time. Please, let's understand the season we are in. Let's understand the season we are in. Because a whole lot is happening. And it's a fact that a lot of people are just not aware of what is coming and where we are. A whole lot of people think nothing is coming. All is well. All is well. All is well. But it's rather unfortunate. But the truth is that all is not well. No, not at all. I've said this a number of times that the biggest mistake or one of the mistakes a Christian can make is failure to identify a change in the season, spiritual season. You see, if you fail to identify it, you'll be operating in old school ideas, old school anointing, old school strategies when the season has changed. So it's like the syllabus has been changed and you are still holding on to your old syllabus. You're a lawyer, a law has been amended, and you are still holding on to your pre-amended scripts, and you go to the court with it. You lose your case. You see, when the season changes, you have to adapt and also upgrade yourself to meet that new season. A new season requires a new approach, new strategy, spiritual strategy, ideas, spiritual vision, strength, and all. So if the season changed and you are still refusing to accept that the season has changed, you are the one losing out. So for the season, it has changed. And it has changed. So it's not going to revert back just because of you. So just because you are still in your old state, the season should revert back so that nothing, as if nothing has happened. No, that's not how it works. When the season changes, it has changed. You rather have to step up into that new category or that new level. And that is extra work that we have to do in prayer, in waiting on the Lord, meditating the word, all that. And that is where most times we don't want to. So we fall off and we think, nothing is happening, nothing is happening. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life, Spirit FM. Kumasi, I'll be back after this song.
All who are thirsty, in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away. The waves of His mercy as deep cries out. Jesus. eyes out to thee. As deep cries out to thee, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Won't you come?
Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. This is Eben. Let me read this short then. And there will be a mighty move of God, a global revival. This revival will not die as others have in the past, but it's move from nation to nation in wave-like motion, cleansing the body of Christ and bringing in the final harvest towards the close of this age. This revival will be an awakening of the sons of God to their identity, which shall result in a mighty army arising in the power of the Holy Spirit to take over regions and territories for the kingdom of God. Denominational walls will be broken down. There will be instant mass healings, mass conversions, that salvation, as well as many other miracles, signs and wonders wrought by this army. This army will consist of every race, every age group, without discrimination, for God shall pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. Buildings will not be able to contain church meetings, and this shall result in large stadiums being converted into church meeting places, and their meetings will carry on sometimes for days and nights on end, because the glory of God, the glory realm of God, shall be a resident zone, and his supernatural will be a natural, spontaneous and prophetic worship, and shall be a lifestyle. The manifest presence of God will abide with us as heaven touches earth, and as the sons of God recreate heaven on earth, creating the culture, releasing the atmosphere, and manifesting the principles of heaven upon the earth on all the seven mountains of influence. This revival will restore the church back to the book of Acts, and once again the body of Christ will become a movement, a living organism, and not a static religious institution. Key in this revival will be David's, that's nobody's, inexperienced and hitherto unknown members of the body of Christ. They will seem to appear from nowhere, but in reality, God has been preparing them, some for years, in isolation and in the wilderness. Their focus will be on raising, mentoring, training, and releasing the army. I see revival. I see a mighty move of God. I remember listening to one man of God some years back, and the Lord showed him how the revival looked like. He died, I think, 2 years ago or so, and in one of the descriptions said churches will need to train people at a fast rate, because like the discipleship type of thing, because there will be no room for, you know, the current state churches, you know, discipleship class can be in some churches 6 months, 4 months, you know, this long. There will be no room for that, because people are coming, churches overflowing, people, I mean, just imagine, yes, you look at this situation, your church, where you are, where, whichever church it is, imagine tomorrow you go to church, and 100 souls come to give their lives to Christ, is your church ready to accommodate them? The discipleship, the training, is your church ready? Then after tomorrow's 100, next week Sunday, another 100 comes again. Then next 2 weeks, another 100 comes again. Can your church accommodate it? How many people are even trainers or teachers, Sunday school teachers, or even have the, will be the ones who can manage and train these, disciple these people, baptize them and all that? You see, just imagine, I'm just giving you a scenario of 3 weeks and 300 people have just they've come to your church in 3 weeks, 300 people. And then it keeps going on and on and on. In one church, one pastor wrote about some years back a scenario like that in California, where they did a drama, a Christian group, the first night. Then something that was just to be a short thing, and then souls came, the next night souls came, and now every night they had to be doing it, I think 21 days, and every night. So the church couldn't accommodate the souls that were coming. They had to pass it on to other churches in the neighborhood. At a point, all the churches to send them message that don't bring souls again, we can't handle them. So after a while, this whole thing had to end because they couldn't accommodate the numbers that were coming. You see, so these things are not impossible. It's very possible because it's happened in various revivals, in various places. So that movement is really needed now because people have to be saved. The coming revival is not just an entertainment. It's not an entertainment thing. It's for souls to be saved, the church to be purified and refined, and souls to be added to it. So it's about souls making it into the kingdom of God. So that's why it is important that we start praying for it, we start talking about it, we start preparing ourselves to be part of it. You know, so most people think, oh, so that's it. The rapture is going to happen and then just a few people make it to heaven, that's all. No, God cannot lose like that. No, souls are going to be saved before he comes. Souls are going to be saved before he comes. And we shouldn't miss the golden opportunity of being part of this great awakening. Early Christian leaders sought to be part of these things. They wished to be part of it because they know there are countless verses from the Old Testament all through that talks about this final awakening, great awakening coming and all. They wish to be a part of it. Fortunately for us, we have this opportunity to put ourselves in a position where God can use us to be part of this final harvest. The harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. But we should turn ourselves into useful laborers. And I believe Pastor Roger will be joining us soon. And I think he lost his internet. Missed out at a point, so I think he'll be calling us soon and then continue from there. So last week I read the Tommy Hikes vision that the Lord gave him about the church, the last days church, and the revival as well. And it's one great vision that the Lord gave him. And you know, the Lord has shown a lot of people these things, and it's important. See, the fact that people saw it years back and it didn't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's meant for a particular set time, and the season is now due. That's why the Lord has started talking about it. That's why the Lord has started prompting people, started showing people that we should get ready. These things are coming. The season is due. And that's why we are talking about these things on this program. It's a rare topic. I mean, not many people are interested in these things, revival and all that. Yeah, I think it's... Yeah. Hello. Evening.
Evening.
You're on air. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on there. Hello.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Hello. And good evening to your cherished listeners.
Yeah, evening.
Sorry, my network went down.
Oh, okay.
So I was not able to
monitor.
Mm-hmm. Monitor where you have gotten to.
Okay.
But we thank God for another day.
Yeah.
And last week we got to a point where we discussed about the what must the church be doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the Isaiah 52:10 and then Isaiah 52:11.
Yeah.
Tonight we want to continue.
Yeah,
but tonight I'm coming to.
I think, let me just give this message. For those who may want to ask questions, you can send your questions ahead of time to my number 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. SMS and WhatsApp. Okay. So, yeah, we'll just continue. Yeah.
Okay. So today we want to look at it from Numbers chapter 9. In Numbers chapter 9, it talks about the Passover celebrated. It said, in the first month of the second year after the Israelites left Egypt, the Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai. He said, the Israelites must celebrate the Passover at the same time every year. You must celebrate it on the 14th day of this month at dusk. Follow all the rules and regulations for the celebration of the Passover. So Moses told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover. And they celebrated it on the 14th day of the first month at dusk, while they were in the desert of Sinai. The Israelites did everything as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 6. This is where I want us to take note of. But there were some men who had become unclean from touching a dead body, and they couldn't celebrate Passover that day. They came to Moses and Aaron, verse 7, and said, we are unclean because we touched a dead body. Why won't you let us bring our offerings to the Lord at the same time the rest of the Israelites bring their offerings? Mm-hmm. Verse 8, Moses answered them, yes. The Lord command you to do. So verse 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites, suppose you or any of your descendants is unclean from touching a dead body, or is away on a long trip, you may still celebrate a Passover. You will celebrate it on the 14th day of the second month at dusk. You must eat the Passover animal along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. You must never leave any of the meat until morning or break any of the animal's bones. You must follow all the rules for the Passover when you celebrate. But if you are clean and not on a trip and yet don't bother to celebrate the Passover, you must be excluded from the people. You didn't bring your offering to the Lord at the right time. You must suffer the consequences of your sin. 14. Foreigners living with you may want to celebrate the Lord's Passover. They must follow the same rules and regulations. The same rules will apply to foreigners and native-born Israelites. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let's go back to the verse 7 and 8, where the men who had who were unclean by touching the dead body came to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
When they came to Moses, what was the answer of Moses? He said, wait here until I find out what the Lord commands you to do. God gave the law through Moses to Israel. But when the Israelites came to Moses and asked of a certain aspect of the law, which Moses did not know, or to tell them, wait until I find out from the Lord. We have been talking for, I think, 8 weeks about the coming revival. Someone will be sitting somewhere. You will tell me, I don't understand. I am going to ask my pastor. It is good. Moses was the pastor for the first church, Israel. But when it was tough for him, he told the people, I don't know, wait. Let me find out what the Lord commands you to do. And then the verse 9, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites. So it means that the Lord speaks. The Lord speaks. So if there is anything you don't understand, to the Lord in prayer, he will speak. Today, as part of your submission, you said we need to depend solely on the Holy Spirit. Is that not so?
Yeah.
I am using the Numbers chapter 9 to confirm what you said. So Moses asked the Lord, and the Lord did what? The Lord spoke. And now the Lord even gave further directions that Moses had not what given.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to verse 14, that further direction brings in what? Foreigners. Foreigners living with you may want to celebrate the Lord's Passover. Today, someone will say, I am a Gentile, so I don't celebrate. He says, you can also what? Celebrate. What the Lord did for Israel, he does it for us. That was just by the way. So please, as we go through this, some of us, it has taken years, months, to stay, go back forth and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us through. And then gradually, it began getting things.
Mm-hmm.
God can also speak to you. The Holy Spirit will also speak to you.
Yeah.
Therefore, it is not a matter of just saying it is rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Holy Spirit. This is what I am hearing. Go to your Bible. Read your Bible. Study it. And ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He is there to teach us. Mm-hmm. And he is there to lead us into what? All truth. Amen.
Amen.
We are now in the process of change. The church is poised to undergo some dramatic changes.
Yeah.
Change is not easy. And change is not comfortable. Everybody wished to have stayed in his comfort zone. But what does it take to go through change? It requires faith and an element of risk. One of the things we should understand is that what worked over the last decade will not work in the next decade.
Yeah.
That one, we all have to be certain and sure about it. Even the globalists are telling us that we are in a new world.
Yeah.
So that tells us that things can never be the same. But unfortunately, large portions of the church today are success-oriented. Often the church is reduced to the level of entertaining in its desire to become user-friendly, lower common denominator. Today, you see, I think now, many churches have adapted this cultural day. Others have also adapted Jesse Day, where everybody wears a jersey of a club you saw to go. this is today's church. And we are trying to what, do more of entertaining to become user-friendly. Mm-hmm. Because today, when we go to work, it is about customer first. Marketing will tell you the customer is king. So if the customer is king, then it means that you have to what, satisfy the desires of what? In satisfying the customer, the church has lowered its standards. But something is coming. Mm-hmm. And for that one, I can assure you. Today, I'll go into some areas where the Holy Spirit taught me. Even I've said it with you over a year ago. But I just took down the date and I realized that it is almost exactly a year that the Holy Spirit taught me this.
Okay.
We begin from Numbers 14. I don't know why today it is Numbers. Numbers 14 from verse 1. Then all people in Israel, in the Israelite community, raised their voices and cried out loud all that night. They complained to Moses and Aaron, if only we had died in Egypt or this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land just to have us die in battle? Our wives and children will be taken as prisoners of war. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Let me repeat verse 2 and 3. They complained to Moses and Aaron, if only we had died in Egypt or this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land just to have us die in battle? Our wives and children will be taken as prisoners of war. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? What happened before chapter 14? In chapter 13, Moses had sent the 12 spies to spy out the land, the promised land. And they brought back their report. The 10 agreed with the same report. The land is good, but the sons of Anak were there, and we can't possess it. The 2, Joshua and Caleb, told them, it is not us to possess the land. It is by God's desire and by God's command that we possess the land. But they did not understand. So in verse 3 of chapter 14, they said, why is the Lord bringing us to this land just to have us die in battle? They never understood why they must fight. They never got the reason why they must fight. Our wives and children will be taken as prisoners of war. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? On the 14th April 2020, whilst we were in lockdown, we heard a lot about Haggai chapter 2. There'll be shaking. They'll be shaking. They'll be shaking. And today, I know many of us have this question. Where are we? Where is the church now? I am going to use Numbers chapter 14 to answer most of this question. Where are the church now? Or where is the church now? Where are we as God's people? Israel said two things. They said it would have been better for them to have died in where? Egypt. Or to have died in the wilderness. almost exactly a year ago, when waiting on the Lord taught me this and gave me, it was, I like using graphs, so it was like a graphical something. What was it? He gave me three stages. How do we get doctrine? We get doctrine from the repetition of what? Two events. Then it becomes what? A doctrine. Egypt. Israel was in Egypt. They needed to cross the Red Sea. After crossing the Red Sea, they entered into the wilderness. After the wilderness, they needed to cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land. This was where the problem was. They knew right from Egypt that their destination was what? The promised land. Their destination was never the wilderness. When Moses was taking Israel from Egypt, and God did all those miracles against Pharaoh and his fellow Egyptians, Israel knew that their destination was the promised land. So if Israel is now saying, it is better if we had died in Egypt or we die in the wilderness, Israel is not being fair to God. Israel is never being fair to God because their destination was not the wilderness. Their destination was the promised land. Genesis chapter 15, the Lord told Moses that, let me read that scripture. In Genesis chapter 15, when the Lord told Moses that your children will be slaves in a foreign land,
Abraham or
for 400
Moses? Abraham.
Come again.
Abraham.
Hey, sorry. Abraham. For 400 years. That's Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Mm-hmm. It says, God said to Abraham, you can know for sure that your descendants will live in a land that is not their own, where they will be slaves and they will be oppressed for 400 years. Verse 14, but I will punish the nation they serve, and after that, they will come out with many possessions. Then, in verse 16, it says, in the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, because the sin of the Amorites will not have run its course until then. God has a way he does it.
Yeah.
He needed to punish what? The Amorites. But he wanted their sin to come to its what? Its fullness. So that he will still be what? A just God. Now, if Israel were to take Amorites out, would there not be a fight? Can Israel occupy the promised land without a fight?
Mm-hmm.
It is never possible. The Amorites will arm themselves together with their gods, and they will come and they will fight. But Israel was not ready to fight. Remember last week, we said, Passover, the announcement was done in what? Heaven. And we see the execution on earth. Remember, we also agreed that Pentecost, the announcement was done in heaven. With all, we see heaven's involvement in it. So, when the Lord told them to go, what was their problem? The command does not come from me and you. The command comes from who? The Lord. Someone will be asking, why is it that we are looking at this from the Testament? Everything Israel went through, we will go through. Hello?
Yeah, your name.
Okay. Everything Israel went through, we will go through. The journey of Israel from Egypt to the promised land is the journey of the church, is the journey of every individual believer or Christian. That is a journey you will go through. Egypt is the Passover. The wilderness is Pentecost. The promised land is Tabernacles, where the glory of the Lord will pour. Egypt, when a believer moves from Egypt, we go through water baptism. When a believer enters into the wilderness, you go through what? The Holy Spirit, what? Baptism. But your destination is not this truth. Your destination is the glory of the Lord. Your destination is the glory of the Lord. So if you leave the Old Testament behind, it is likely many things that Paul said, many things that Jesus said, you will never understand. Because the basis, you have left it behind. Remember, the early church did not use the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The early church carried the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Paul did not use the New Testament. Apostle Paul used the Old Testament.
Yeah.
It was after AD 60 going. That was when the New Testament was being assembled.
Yeah.
So they left even before the New Testament was fully completed. So why are we running away from it? That gives us the foundation of everything. And everything that is happening now, you will find it in the Old Testament. God, Bible says, the scripture is for what? Examples unto us. Everything that we are going through now, it has been in scripture, but it is the proportion and the magnitude that we may not see. And therefore, we find it difficult to try to associate it with scripture. The Amorites will not leave their land without a fight. The Canaanites will not leave their land without a fight. The Jebusites, the Hivites, and all the sites, they will not leave the land without a fight. Who? We are in Accra, Ghana. If you go right now to build on the sea, someone will tell you that what? Even that portion of the water belongs to him. There is no free land. You let someone build on the sea. Do you remember the case?
It's for the government. Up to 200 nautical miles.
Do you remember the case Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire that they settled at the International Court of Justice?
Yeah.
What was it about? Was it not about the oil?
Mm-hmm.
Until we found oil at a 3 point, did Cote d'Ivoire claim the land? They claimed that portion of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
They never claimed. But the day we got oil, that portion belonged to us, belonged to them. So even the sea is somebody's territory. This evening, when you were reading the news, you talked about what? The Black Sea issue.
Mm-hmm.
Even the airspace, someone will tell you that this space is mine. So Israel could never occupy the promised land without a fight. That one, everybody must understand. God had been with them. God was not leaving them. He was still being going with them. But they needed what? To fight. Let me bring it to today. When we talk about the revival, many of us don't understand why there will be a revival.
Mm-hmm.
Because to them, evil is encroaching. To them, evil is what? Putting on weight. To them, gross darkness or thick darkness is what? It's approaching.
Yeah.
So there is no need. The next thing is we must all be raptured. We must be flown away. You are talking about not fighting. And if we look at this well, when Israel crossed the Jordan, that was where Israel's fiercest battles occurred. Take the Bible and look through.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's wild battles were all fought when they crossed the Jordan. The earlier people or the earlier generation said, we can't fight. Is that not what they said? We can't fight. We will be taken as prisoners of war. So we better die here or die in Egypt. And what happened to them? They died. But now, as we continue, let's look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who has stopped reading the book of Joshua, you may have to pick it to understand where the church is now. Because the church is at the battleground. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. He said, my servant Moses is dead. Now you and all these people must cross the Jordan River into the land that I am going to give the people of Israel. Who is talking here? Is it Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
It is God. From last week, I told you, the command comes from God. The command does not come from the Madre. It does not come from the genius of pretending. It does not come from the head of the command comes from the ultimate head, which is God. The command God gave and the earlier generation refused. Has the command changed? The command has not changed. Now you, Joshua, and all these people must cross. Even let's analyze this English.
Mm-hmm.
All these people must cross. What does it mean? Can you stay behind?
Mm-hmm. Everyone is
this one. Yes, this one. It is not God pleading with you. It is God seeing you. We are getting to a point that the church is being forced. Last week, we established that when Christ died and resurrected, he moved the church through Passover. Is that not so?
Mm-hmm.
When they waited for the Holy Ghost, the church was moved through Pentecost. So who moves the church? It is not the head pastor. It is God. So he says, now you and all these people must cross. What must they cross? He said, the river Jordan. The river Jordan has a big significance here. They must cross the river Jordan. If you will go back, when we looked at Passover, we said Passover is celebrated not with leaven. So it was celebrated with unleavened bread. Then when we look at Pentecost from the book of Leviticus chapter 23, we saw that Pentecost was celebrated with what? Leaven. I hope you remember that.
Yeah.
And then we said, before you could enter into tabernacles, God made a provision. And what was that provision? You had to go through what? Atonement. And what was atonement to do? Atonement was supposed to remove every leaven that had filled you. And we know what leaven is. Leaven was sin, hypocrisy, all sorts of things. That was leaven. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. God said, you have to cross Jordan. That is atonement. You have to cross Jordan. That is atonement. If you ask where the church is, I can boldly tell you that the church is crossing Jordan. That is why Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 applies to us now. The shaking to remove the what? The leaven. And when the moment you cross Jordan, you can't cross Jordan without going to fight. You can never cross Jordan and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Then you better sleep in the wilderness. Because when you cross Jordan, it means you mean business. So when Israel was crossing the Jordan, what did
Hello?
What did
I think your signal went off a bit, oh.
It went off. Is it okay now?
Yeah.
I was saying that when Israel crossed Jordan, what happened to the first country they fought? People said Jericho was tightly shut. Nobody went out, nobody came in. That means that they also meant for business. They knew you were coming for them, and they were getting ready for what? For you. You said at this time, it is extremely crucial that everybody depends on what? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You remember the people who came to deceive Joshua?
Mm-hmm.
The Gibeonites.
Yeah.
Someone asked himself, why is deception on the rise? The Gibeonites are coming. Why is deception on the rise? The Gibeonites will not let you conquer them, so they will deceive you. And if you don't want to be deceived, then get glued to the Holy Spirit. Walk with the Holy Spirit. The devil knows that the glory of God supersedes everything. The devil knows that the glory of God will arm the church. The devil knows that the glory of God will sweep millions into the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
The devil knows that the glory of God will sweep even the doubting Thomases into the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what must he do? He will prevent you from entering into the glory. And this was the same issue that Israel faced before they crossed the Jordan. Next week, we will go through the first, second chapters of the book of Joshua. Then we will now come to understand the preparation before the battle.
Yeah.
This week, I am trying to let you understand why the battles are increasing. Why the warfare is increasing. Why darkness seems not to give up. Remember, the Amorites have been there 400 years plus. And for 400 years, what were they doing? Were they joking?
No.
Were they sleeping?
No.
For 400 years, they were building up. And can Israel, how would Israel just come one day, you don't want to fight, and you want to conquer? They say, oh, nyami neye. Yes, nyami beye. But this time, that is why we have to say strategic prayers. This time, that is why Isaiah says we have to create the highway. That is why this time we have to remove obstacles. That is why this time we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us a type of prayer that we call targeted intercession.
Yeah.
Because you just can pray. And it is not just any prayer that you have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Spirit himself must give you what? Points to pray.
Yeah.
There are days that you will go and you will not be praying for yourself. Because there are days you will not be praying for yourself. Because the Holy Spirit asks you to do a warfare on behalf of some people. Remember this week, I don't know whether it was part of your news for this week. The island that had the volcano.
Yeah, I didn't talk about it here.
Did you read it?
No, it was in the podcast, the next edition of the podcast, rather. I didn't say
okay.
It.
Mm-hmm. Let me just use it for this targeted intercession.
Yeah.
The island that had the volcanic eruption, and they are supposed to be evacuated. And the vessels that have come said, if you have not what been vaccinated, you don't go onto the vessel. Is that not so?
Mm-hmm.
This is where the Holy Spirit may prompt somebody in another country to be interceding for the people who will be left there.
Yeah.
And this is where the Holy Spirit will now transport people to that place. Preach to them. Win them to Christ. And then bring them back. This will not be airplane. This is the Holy Ghost transportation we are talking about.
Like Philip.
Yes. Like Elijah.
Uh-huh.
The basis in the Old Testament. Elijah. So, going to the promised land, there is a fight. If the church does not want to fight, the church will not enter the promised land. But even if the church decides not to fight, God will raise a new generation. That is what we have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
As in Joshua's time, where God raised a new generation is coming. But please, as you listen to us, time is not on our side. But note this. This generation is not an exclusive generation. It is an open-ended generation. Why am I saying an open-ended generation? It is a generation that you and me can be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
If only we want to be part of it. That is the generation.
Yeah.
Joshua and Caleb had to decide that we want to be on the promised land. And the moment they decided, God added them to the new generation. Those who decided they couldn't go, God phased them out. The revival is a sure thing. The Amorites must be rooted out. Nations must be won to Christ. I am saying nations because I'm talking about multitudes. Mm-hmm. Must be won to Christ. That's why I'm talking about nations. Must be won to Christ. But you and me, we will need to fight on our knee. It is coming. If you don't decide to fight, raising a generation that you know you don't have an idea of. Like we read in the world's revival,
yeah.
God brought ordinary men. Like we read in the Tommy Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
In the Tommy Hicks vision,
yeah.
There is no big you and big I. God will bring people from behind the scene and they will execute the work. Because when heaven commands, there must be execution. If Israel thought, Numbers chapter 14 verse 3, telling Moses, we can't go. Telling Moses, we can't fight. Telling Moses, we don't want our children to be what? Prisoners of war. Telling Moses, we don't want our wives to be prisoners of war. Telling Moses, it will be better for us to go back to Egypt. They thought the promised land would not be sure. It was a promise to Abraham. Genesis chapter 15. Therefore, God had to ensure that that promise comes to pass. And therefore, this harvest is a promise to the fathers of old, to the fathers who have prayed, to the fathers who have desired to see today, to the prophets who saw these days in old times and prophesied concerning these days. It is a sure thing. It must come to pass. The prophets prophesied about Jesus. They did not meet Jesus, but it came to pass. Is that not so? The prophets have prophesied about this time. They did not live to meet it. We are in that time. And promises of God are yea and amen. It is bound to come to pass. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Roger, for these discussions through teachings that we are doing on this series. It's really, really important. I believe people should start tuning their minds to the fact that the great harvest is necessary. Unless we don't care about the souls around us, unless we don't care about the lost. But that passion for the lost, that passion is virtually almost dead in most Christians now. Let's pray that God will start reviving us, and the revival will start with us. It will start in our homes. It will start within us, because the change has to start with us before we can also be change makers. And it's an open season, as you said. I mean, open-ended thing. If you are willing and you position yourself, God will enlist you and God will use you. These are the times where we need to really be more spiritually minded. We really need to be interested in spiritual things. As I said earlier, these are not times to lose focus. Let's
tune our minds towards spiritual things. Let's show a greater interest in spiritual things. You see, ultimately, I remember at the beginning of the year, the Lord taught me one thing, told me one thing, that it's time we retune our mind to the fact that eternity is closer than ever before. Heaven is closer than ever before. You know, sometimes we think it will never happen, and it's like heaven and all these things. We don't even want to hear about it. Christians, unfortunately, don't want to talk about heaven and all. But, you know, when we tune our minds to eternity, we become interested in working towards eternity. And one great work we can engage ourselves in preparing towards eternity is winning souls. And it's in this particular context where we are now, being part of the harvest. And that is the essence of this discussions we are having, we've been having for the last few weeks. And it's all to alert us to increase our interest, to awaken us, and to encourage us so that we do what has to be done in our homes, in our churches, in our private lives. You see, the more you talk about something, you think about something, you pray about something, then you are tuning yourself in preparation towards it. And that's why we do these things. The program, Issues of Life, Eben, we thank God for tonight. Pastor Roger joined us from Accra by phone. This will be uploaded to spiritissues.info website. Those in the Telegram, it will also be part of the group. Telegram, just search for Spirit Issues or Spirit FM Issues of Life. But the group name, the short form is at Spirit Issues. You find it and then you can join. It's not a disturbing group where people chat and ask questions. I mean, that type, no. It's just for picking information. So we just drop the files there. You just pick it. And if you go to the spiritissues.info, you also see the podcast that has been started. I've added the End Time Chronicles podcast. The first edition is up as well on the website. And it's just to add extra information because we need more things. We need to talk about more things as we have more time to talk about this online as well. So that's the essence of the podcast. And so good night, and God willing, next week we'll be coming your way. Good night, and God bless you.
Gracious and compassionate.